Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rumor Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of ConjuremanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us today's topic on Elvira's new show, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjureman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Hi, Papa Newt. Nice to hear your lovely voice. Boy, oh boy, it has been a week. We are definitely busy. We've been so busy at the shop. I think I mentioned that we found out that there were Pokemons running loose on our train layout and in our shop. And I tell you, today I stopped two different groups of customers coming in with their little cell phones out, and I'm like, hi, what can I do to help you? Oh, nothing, we're just looking. Snap, 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 snap. Then they leave. It's been quite chaotic, but we also have had a lot of very nice friends, family, and customers coming up to the shop today. It's a beautiful sunny day, and I've been doing my best just to sort rocks. We made a big buy of rocks a while back, and the rocks were all bundled together in one big bin, and so I'm sitting there picking out the clear quartz from the rose quartz and the howlite and the adventurine and the red jasper and sorting them all into little bowls so that I can count them and figure out what rocks I've got. So that's been my day, and no oils for me today, just rocks. So I do want to give a couple of shout-outs, too. Number one, to my friend Mark Perkel, just a guy I've known for many, many, many years, and I hope he listens to the show, and just a happy day to Mark Perkel for reasons he knows, and that's just what it is. And then I also want to say something, which I did mention on Facebook, but not everybody who listens to this show is reading Facebook or reading it in current time. And Facebook posts have a way of disappearing over time just by being buried sedimentary layers of more Facebook posts. But this week we had the passing of a man named Gaspar Saladino, known to most everybody who knew him as just as Gaspar. He sometimes just signed his work Gaspar, so a lot of people didn't know his last name was Saladino. And he was a comic book letterer. He died at the age of 89. Ooh. He was a World War II veteran, and he learned lettering on his own. And he was also, he wrote ad copy too. And he had started off trying to be an inker, but he said he gave up inking and became a letterer, and he was a logo designer. And he designed logos and did logos for DC and did splash page lettering and cover lettering, you know, the kind of thing like now, special, you know, seeing, you know, whatever this new character or whatever, introducing the so-and-so, you know. That was his lettering for years and years. All DC Comics had his stuff on the covers. He worked for Marvel Comics. He did logos for them. He redesigned old logos and made them more modern and up-to-date, made them more balanced sometimes. And as the in the 70s and 80s, he also began to freelance, and you know, he wasn't under exclusive contract, so he would do logos for all kinds of companies. He did logos for Eclipse Comics, for Continuity Comics, and for Atlas Seaboard. He did all of their logos, and Eclipse was a company that I was a co-owner of at one time. So he did logos for us and lettering. And when Eclipse and I parted ways, and I started Lucky Mojo, of course, the first person I went to for logo, graphic logos, design logos, was Gaspar. And he said, well, I've never done that kind of stuff before, but of course, he did it very well. Probably the best known logo that Gaspar did was Fiery Wall of Protection. And
yeah.
the most fun one that he did was the Raccoon Love Bone, the raccoon penis bone. And he wrote on Raccoon Love Bone, also known as Coon Dong. And he got a good kick out of that. So, but he just did a lot of lettering for me and for Lucky Mojo. And it was always a kind of a kick to me to know that. Well, there was a friend of his, a man named Todd Klein, another letterer. Todd Klein is another really great letterer. But he was kind of a fan and a follower of Gaspar, and he worked at DC, and he collected Gaspar's lettering samples from the original art, and he put out a blog with just page after page after page after page of Gaspar's incredible one-off fabulous logos, fabulous designs, cover blurb lettering, all of it free-handed. The guy was he just had beautiful hand-eye coordination. And I was, when Gaspar passed away, of course, everybody was looking to, you know, have a little memory. And I went to Todd Klein's blog, and I found some piece of lettering, and it said, "Introducing Fire Drake." And it was the same lettering as on Fiery Wall of Protection.
Oh.
It was the same flaming letters. And I just laughed. I went, oh, my God, there it is. It's Gaspar. And I don't know which came first, Fire Drake or Fiery Wall, but whatever, he knew what he was going to do when I told him Fiery Wall of Protection. So goodbye to Gaspar, a great guy, and his logos live on at the comic book companies, and they'll live on at Lucky Mojo as long as we keep on making those products too. So I just wanted to say that to everybody who was, who knows about my history and where I used to work and what I've done in my life. And I'm going to miss Gaspar. He was a genuinely humble, friendly person. He never had a big swelled head. And you could say, why would someone have a big swelled head being a comic book letterer? Believe me, I have seen comic book letterers with big swelled heads, but he wasn't one of them. He was just a nice person, really nice person. So, when he worked at other companies, he'd sometimes use pseudonyms like L.P. Gregory, but everyone knew it was Gaspar. You'd know his lettering, and you'd see it across the room, you go, and Gaspar lettered that, you know. So there you go. So, having said that, how are you today, Ali?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry to hear about his passing. It's sad, but I'm glad to hear that he's being remembered in such a wonderful, kind of beautiful way, which is kind of what we all hope for in the end, right? Like our work survives us, or there's some type of legacy left. So that's very beautiful. On my end, I've been quite busy. Very happy to have you back on the radio show. Hopefully,
oh, yeah.
this month will actually be on at the same time, because I think
right.
we were only together once during the month of July. It just goes to show you how busy of a month it really was. So I'm happy and ready to get started with the radio show today and do some discussion.
Well,
I gotta thank.
Yeah, I got to thank you, too, for covering for me while I was gone. July just was a multiple model railroad event because of the once every 10 years we have the convention out here on the West Coast, and then it also happens that once every month we have our club meeting, and so I just had to go do everything. Plus, I had to then spend one weekend just running trains here for people from all around the world to come here. So we had July was filled. And thank you, and thank everybody for helping to run the show while I was gone. Okay, and Aura LaForest, says Shiva. She was our guest co-host, so everybody helped out. Now, we're going to bring in someone who's been with us before, and this is Miss Elvira. So I'm going to give a little introduction on Miss Elvira for those who do not know her. First of all, Elvira Cucuruto Love is one of the readers with the longest last names in America, and which is why we just call her Miss Elvira. And Miss Elvira is the proud proprietress of Elvira.com, and that is Elvira with a Y, ELVYRA, for all of those of you who are listening to this radio show and are not connected to a computer at this time. And she goes by just Elvira Love. That is what how she's mostly known, Elvira Love. And Love is her actual last name. That's it. So Elvira, I met, she's a local here in Northern California, and I met her, you know, through the local magical community. She has worked at Lucky Mojo and at the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church and back at Lucky Mojo for a number of years in various capacities, but probably best known to the public as one of our on-site readers. So when people want to have a reading up here at the church or at Lucky Mojo and they want to come in person, Elvira is somebody who they book. She also does telephone readings and is available through her own booking system. And she is a member of AIR, readersandrootworkers.org, Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers. So Elvira is a teacher. She has written articles. She has presented workshops at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And she, in fact, you can find some of her writing in the Black Folder, which is a collection of flyers from previous year's workshops. And so I think that's about all I can say about her, except for that she's real pretty and has great taste in jewelry and clothing. That's about it, I guess. So welcome, Elvira.
Thank you very much, Mrs.
Welcome,
Pat.
Welcome.
Congressman Ali, I appreciate that. It's really good to be back on here. I'm excited because this coming week, a co-worker of mine, Miss Phoenix, and I are going to be sponsored by Lucky Mojo Radio Network to put on another a show of our own. And I'm very excited about this. It's, you know, the witch, the priestess, and the cauldron. And I am looking forward to putting out this information on pagan and the structure of the more feminine aspects of it, and working to get the community out some information and practical knowledge. And this is sort of an experiment for both of us to be putting it out.
Yeah, well, I know you've been kind of shy at first about the radio, Elvira, because I remember when I tried to get you on, you were like, I don't know. But now you're ready to go out with your own show. So what this show is, as best I understand it, and I'm sure you're going to elaborate, this show is on paganism, but primarily feminine or female-oriented deific figures, in other words, goddess worship. Paganism. Now, paganism, for those of you who don't know, who tune in this show because it's a hoodoo show, paganism is a wide-ranging word. It used to mean, back in the ancient classical Roman days, the religion of the country people, in other words, not the state religion. And it has retained that meaning, usually meaning something that is not the dominant state religion. Well, during the conquest of Europe, especially under the Holy Roman Empire, Roman Catholicism became the dominant state religion in almost every country. And then, of course, in some places, Lutheranism became the dominant state religion, like in Sweden. And the folk religions were kind of banished to the sidelines. And people who practiced folk religions or folk magic were kind of looked down upon or even persecuted. Now, in the 20th century, actually starting late 19th, but early 20th century, there was a revival of interest in what some people call pre-Christian. But they're not necessarily pre-Christian because Christianity may not have become the dominant religion in a particular area. For instance, if you're in an area where Hinduism is dominant, there may be a folk version of South Asian religion that you might practice, which isn't exactly Hinduism, but it gets co-opted. So paganism as a word usually means indigenous religions of various places, but many people call it pre-Christian. That's one way to look at it. So with something called the Volkische movement, which was called the folk movement, there was an interest in a revival of the pre-Christian Germanic, as the word Volkisch obviously is Germanic, religions. And this kind of spread to England. It became an interest in what, for lack of a better word, was sometimes called witchcraft, and then later called Wicca. And in Scandinavia, they came up with the name Asatru. Some people call themselves heathens. Some people have, you know, they just say, I'm a hedge witch. Witchcraft generally means magic culture, but the problem with defining the difference between religion and magic is kind of it's a sticky area. Is there a clergy and a laity? Is there not? Some religions don't allow magic at all, or only priests can perform it. Other religions, every woman for herself, and many domestic magics have a domestic religion that goes with them. So paganism is a very broad, overarching thing. But generally understood in America, we're often talking about Anglo-Saxon and Celtic religious traditions, which have a magic tradition associated with them, and which the major deities were female. Sometimes there were male deities who were consorts. The major festivals were seasonal, either solar seasonal or lunar. And so that's kind of an intro to what we mean by paganism, and some people call that neo-paganism because it's not an unbroken tradition. It's newly derived. And so having said all that, Elvira, I know that you and your co-host, Phoenix, who also, by the way, Miss Phoenix worked for Lucky Mojo and for Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, again, also for years. And Miss Phoenix owns and operates a store in Sebastopol, California, called Milk and Honey. And it's a pagan-oriented store. They carry some Lucky Mojo products. And we have a really great working relationship. The church published Miss Phoenix's book, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars. So we're kind of an overlapping set of patrons and clients and customers, and an overlapping set of customs, beliefs, and magical practices. Paganism, neo-paganism, has been heavily informed by hoodoo. And the reason is that hoodoo, African-American conjure, is an unbroken tradition. And the reason it was unbroken has to do with racial segregation policies of the United States. Basically, nobody tried to break it because no one got into the black community because they didn't want to. They didn't know what was going on, and so it was not secret. It was just hidden in plain sight. So it's an unbroken tradition, whereas white paganism, to a greater or lesser extent, is broken. And when neo-pagans, Wiccans, and witches began to reconstruct their magic, they often brought in hoodoo things. We've talked about this before. There was a lady named Lady Sheba and other, like Anna Riva. They brought in hoodoo magic spells to, I would call, salt and pepper, a tradition that they were trying to reanimate or reconstruct or revive. And so people often who come from a pagan thing will say, oh, hoodoo is so familiar. But it's backwards. Hoodoo didn't get from Wicca. Wicca got from hoodoo. But it was very deliberate, especially in America. British traditional witchcraft, less much. They stick more to the British magical traditions. Having said all that, and I do this because I know that people listening to the show 5 years from now go, what was that about? So I always want to set the stage. So you and Miss Phoenix are going to be doing this show, and you're also going to have a tech helper who some of us know and some of us don't. His name is Alan Scott, and he's a videographer. Those who come to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival remember him. He's the guy with taking the videos all the time. And he also is one of the people behind the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, which is an all-tradition, all-encompassing metaphysical fair that's held every year in October. So those people he's going to be running the board. So we are very happy to have a pagan show. It's going to go along with the other shows we have, each which have their own focus. Now, I'm going to turn this over to you, Elvira. Tell us what you intend to do on this show.
Well, our first actual decision was to showcase a particular goddess, deity, and from that, we will do one show with that energy, with something at the end on how to work with this goddess. And then the following week, we will probably do more, be more involved with hands-on things to do that we can discuss. The particular Sabbath, the eight holy Sabbaths that we have, equinoxes, solstices, May Day, Yule, these are all part of our tradition according to the the wheel of the year, we will take and also showcase one of those events and rituals so that we can talk about that as it falls within the time that we are going to be doing the shows, whatever week is closest to that situation. And obviously, it's a short show. It's only going to be an hour to begin with. We decided that we wanted to see how this was going to be responded to and how we would best fit our knowledge together, both from Miss Phoenix's perspective and mine and the traditions that we hold. So that would be the case. We'll definitely have a chat room for people to talk in. We will not be doing call-ins at the beginning. Again, this is so that we can get an idea of how our new baby is going to start learning how to walk, talk, and put the energy out there in the world. So I'm excited and a little nervous, only because, like any good performer, you need to have a little bit of nervousness behind there to really push it forward.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fascinating show, and I'm very much looking forward to it. When you say you're going to be introducing a goddess, does that mean you're interested in kind of goddesses around the world, or is it from a particular perspective, or a tradition that you want to focus on, like the goddesses of the Celtic tradition, or are you more interested in kind of like a world survey approach? So what is it that people will hear?
Well, I actually think that you brought up a good point. We start with the Mediterranean, and
mm-hmm.
I think we're, you know, because I have Mediterranean blood as well as the Scottish, and of course Miss Phoenix has the Celtic and, of course, the Norse. So we're going to start with something that is, you know, more from our personal heritage, but then we are going to go through the world. So it is not something we are going to stick only with our, quote, little corner of the world. We want to encompass, and that's why we will also have guest speakers that will come on that we would like to engage with. Because of that, it will get more of a fully dimensional information
mm-hmm.
and idea so that, you know, again, people will feel comfortable with the different deities and different cultures and what resonates, because obviously some of us, as Ms. Kat pointed out, come from lineages that have been broken due to various events in history that have taken and wiped out segments of the population. So
mm-hmm.
we find our way. Sometimes we're lucky enough to find hereditary witches that are able to, from going underground, as a lot of people do when things like this happen, carry the tradition forward, meld with what is around, and then, you know, at a time when it is more feasible, bring it out. And so that's, you know, where we come from. But then we want to share with everybody the joy of these other deities. So I'm going to be putting out there, as Miss Phoenix, the different deities of different cultures.
Wow. So you brought up some words, and I'm gonna ask you about this, because this is something that people, you know, again, always have questions. When you say Celtic, people, you know, tend to think of the Irish, right? But
mm-hmm.
When you say Celtic, and then you said, because I have Mediterranean blood, can you explain that? What is Celtic?
Well, it's the Celts. Were actually, the British Isles were invaded, especially Ireland and the northern area, Scotland, by the Norse people. And so the Celts are actually part of that invasion of what would have been originally the Picts, which are in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the natives of that isle. And so it's become a way of just saying Celtic is the northern part of the British Isles, because, of course, then you have Britain, which, you know, as far as where they, you know, where they are on the map, it's kind of like they're all part of the same process. They were all invaded, just different times, and basically, the invaders were assimilated. They didn't really invade. They got assimilated in. I think the only ones that didn't quite do that were the Romans. They were a little different kind of group of people. The Mediterranean is basically my background, Sicilian, and as you know, as you are, Miss Kat, part Sicilian. They didn't necessarily consider themselves Italians. I mean, we are Italians by virtue of what has happened more recently in the government. But I would say at this point, what it is more of what I see as a group of people, and we were kind of thought of as separate. We thought of ourselves separately.
Right. And I'm putting through in the chat room something that my grandfather, Vincent Manfredi, said. The Sicilians are not Italians.
That is true.
You know, that's funny. It's like a lot when you go to, if you ever go to Italy and the various regions, you almost hear that. Italians say that quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They say that we're not Italians because of the rather recent history of Italy being unified and also how diverse it is. So you have people, I remember going to Naples, and like, yeah, we're really kind of separate. Then you hear about a lot in Sicily. So I find that quite fascinating that you hear this idea of we're separate. I want to go back to something Ms. Alvarez said that I thought was quite interesting, the idea of the invaders assimilating. And we find this quite often throughout history, is that dominant forces in hegemony and imperialism aren't always a one-way streak. Not always invaders conquering, destroying, and emptying, but also the invaders themselves becoming part of the culture. We have vast examples of this. The Mongols coming in, they destroy the Abbasid Caliphate, then they themselves become Muslims and Persian, you know, very much Persian and Turkic in that regard. We find that just throughout history over and over again. And something that fascinates me is that the folk tradition that we refer to as kind of pagan also absorb quite a bit of Christianity, and in some ways we have a sort of pagan Christianity that emerges on the margins of society, and specifically in these regions where a strong central church isn't present. You find it quite a bit in the British Isles, you find it in Northern Europe. Johannes has talked about this quite a bit in his tradition, right, which one would look at it anthropologically, yeah, this is a form of paganism, but you see quite a bit that you'll have invocations of a goddess simultaneously to invocations to the Christian god. And that kind of blending of cultures historically is quite fascinating because it produces unique magical systems and traditions that manage to survive throughout centuries.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that to me is very interesting about the neo-pagan revival and why I so much is that it is seasonal and it is connected to nature. I think that's one of the strongest factors that make it interesting to
Hello?
Me. And,
can you guys hear me?
Yes,
you're here.
Because I got disconnected.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we can. Yeah, we can tell you're here because we see you in the phone list.
Okay, good. All right. No, I just
okay.
got disconnected. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. So one of the things about neo-paganism is the idea that seasonal and natural festivals are celebrated. So, Elvira, you said that the show would be focused partially around these goddesses and then partially around the seasonal festivals. So tell us about the calendar, what we were calling the Wheel of the Year. We put through the chat room the link to the air page on the Wheel of the Year, but tell us what that means to you guys.
To us, we start obviously at the 2nd of February, and our year starts at that point, and we go through, it's every 6 weeks actually, and we have quarters, you know, the cross quarters. So what it is usually we start with the, they call it Candlemas now, and then we go into the equinox, and then we go, which is March, and then we go into May Day, and we keep through it the as it's seasonal, but it's also through the time of what each one represents, so new birth, the first light. We go into the balancing then of the equal, you know, male, female, light, dark, and then we go into the more feminine, which is May Day, the more, you know, the springtime, we're opening our energies up, and then we continue through so that basically we go all the way to Yule, which is longest night and the shortest day, which is, of course, the death process. And then we get reborn again into the wheel again. So we would be doing it in that form.
Wow. So when you say that Yule is the end of the year for you, you don't celebrate New Year's on January 1st, or you don't celebrate New Year's at the fall equinox like Jews do, or at the spring equinox like some of the Germanic tribes, but you start celebrate the New Year at February, which is what would be the cross quarter day, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. I know that, again, each different nation has their own New Year's. There are many, many New Year's around the world. And Easter, which is a word that probably derives from a German goddess, Ostara, is the spring equinox, and a lot of people celebrate that. The farther north you go, the farther through the calendar they displace their happy, happy day. And in fact, in talking with Dr. Johannes Gardbach, the root worker from Sweden, they focus on midsummer because they're so far north it just doesn't get going until midsummer there.
And the
festivals that in England are held on May Day, they hold those festivals in midsummer because it's just their seasons are different.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say so one of the things that in neo-paganism you'll find will be different seasons and different days will be picked out by the different groups depending on which tradition they are carrying forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have the more Dionic traditions, the more totally female goddess-centric, and then we go to the goddess and her consort, or the masculine, the god part of it being the balance of light and dark, male and female. So we have different segments within the traditions, focusing on one or the other of the aspects, or they kind of go blend. I know I started basically in the goddess tradition and started with the feminist point of reference, I think, as a reclaiming of who I am in our culture and, as a female versus the predominant patriarchal point of reference. And so then at a certain point I said, no, there is a need for balance. So I moved from Dionic to the god-goddess process of the two together. So
of course there are some northern traditions that are more male-centered, Odinist, for instance.
Yes.
Right.
And those are also actually a form of neo-paganism too. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this is that there are so many of these deities that are regional, and yet some of them have become what you might call pan-neo-pagan. In other words, they have spread beyond the regional area where they would have been popular and have been, accepted by people.
Right.
For instance, people who are of a Celtic inclination might accept Bridget, even though Bridget is not like Greek Celtic or Sicilian Celtic, but is actually British Isles Celtic. But they will kind of retrofit Bridget in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other, Magna Mater and things like that, which become more universal.
And there's also quite a bit of kind of diversity and personalization that I have found with neo-paganism. So neo-paganism as a movement starts really as an attempt to revitalize certain cultural religious practices. It's often, as Ms. Kat very rightly and I think very astutely pointed out, tied to kind of national reclamation. So when you mentioned Volk, there's ideas of kind of reclaiming a people, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But as time has gone, they've become very much more associated with personal practice and less so with, for example, tied to a region. So I find that colleagues of mine who are neo-pagan will start off as worshiping within a particular cultural heritage that is really close to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're Celtic, and so they'll work. But then over time, they may find themselves drawn to other deities, and neo-paganism becomes much more, for them, a broader understanding of the world rather than one that is regional or cultural. So you'll find that someone who worships, for example, Diana, will also worship a deity from the Nordic tradition. Or you'll find Hecate sitting alongside, Brigid. And so you have this kind of personalization that comes about with neo-paganism that is quite fascinating.
Yeah. I've got a couple of questions here for you. Number one, Jetu to Mars said, goddess by European culture ideology is usually welcoming of African traditions. And will you be discussing African goddesses? It's a very good question. It also comes with some prickly aspects to it. There are people of African culture who say, don't appropriate our deities just because we preserved an unbroken non-Christian tradition. Don't take our deities. So there is push and pull, but will you be discussing African goddesses?
Well, of course. it's the same as the Native American traditions and how they felt their deities, their spirituality being appropriated. The hunger that people have to find that connectiveness that has been disconnected is there. And I would definitely want us to showcase the different goddesses, not because we're saying, okay, this is something that, you know, you can do in your home, blah, 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 and without honoring the tradition. But it's just like tasting something and saying, oh, I really have an affinity, so thus finding the appropriate places to get the appropriate training and knowledge is what we're trying to offer to the people that we would be talking to, and do it, obviously, as always, as we would want our spirituality to be honored, to honor anyone else's. The whole purpose of that is that.
Okay, and quickly, before we go, I have one more question. Will you be discussing pagan magic?
Yes.
Just yes or no? Yes, okay.
Okay.
Great. All right. So this show debuts on what date?
It debuts on August 12th, which is Friday, and it will be
August 12th, guys. All right. Thank you. And now we're going to go, and we're going to start our readings.
Good.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Bob Anu, to read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 260 in Indiana. This is Ashley. Ashley, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello, welcome to the show. I see you have not, this is your first time calling in, so welcome, and have not had any readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so I do see that you have had a reading with Miss Saida on April and June of this year, and on this particular situation, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she writes, I've had two readings with the wonderful Miss Aida, and I'm currently on maternity leave and broke. Otherwise, I just pay for another reading from her. I'm asking for advice with my ex-boyfriend. Both readings have been positive, and things seem to be moving in the right direction, but what do I know? I would really appreciate some clarity on where I stand in the situation and if we will ever reunite as a couple. Turning it back to you, Ms. Kat.
Oh, Miss Aida's ears are probably burning. That's such a nice compliment to her. All right, Ashley. Well, she is a great reader, and she's often a guest on this show. So you're on maternity leave. May I ask, have you had your child?
Yes, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Well, congratulations. Boy or a girl?
Thank you. Little boy.
Little boy. Okay. And now, the father of the child and you broke up. My questions are, did you break up during the pregnancy?
Yeah, when I was 5 months pregnant, we split up.
Oh, man, I hate it when I hear that. Do you know that is not uncommon? You heard the story before. There are certain...
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Certain kind of men, they want to spread their little gametes around, and then when it comes down to it, they don't want to help, you know, be a dad. So how long were you folks together before the breakup?
5 years. Well, I was almost 5 years.
And was the pregnancy planned?
No, it was definitely an oops. But, you know, we have a son together. We have another son together. He's almost four.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this really got nasty. All right. I'm so sorry to hear that because you already had a son. And okay. And I'm going to ask another question. Is there another person involved?
No, not that I know of. But, I mean, we're in contact. We see each other regularly, so on good terms.
All right. You're on good terms, okay. And he's paying child support?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I can see why Miss Saida was hopeful, because just based on social indications and not metaphysical or spiritual associations to the situation, which I will get to in a moment, socially speaking, this does look like something that has some hope to it. Now, I'm going to ask, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Taurus.
A Taurus, faithful to the end, those Tauruses. I'm one myself. And what sign is the man?
He's a Cancer.
Cancer. Okay, well, they're usually pretty good homebodies. You have a real good chance here. You see what I'm saying? Just based on the little you've told me, and we're going to see what we got. All right, I'm going to do a three-card reading. Now, Miss Aida has given you spell work to do, and have you done it?
She recommended a honey jar, so I did that. And since I've had the baby, I actually haven't really done anything with that. So other than the honey jar, no. And she hasn't recommended anything else.
Okay. So the honey jar is to make someone sweet to you. And make them be more amenable to talking and not fighting and just having everything pleasing. Okay, I'm going to put three cards down and see what I get here. Okay. First card is the Page of Pentacles, otherwise known as the Princess of Coins or however you want to call it. It's an Earth sign young woman. You would normally be considered the Queen because of Pentacles because you have a child, but this card is going to definitely... calls out something about you. It shows a relationship or a situation, a condition, and it can refer to any question in which the person has prepared the ground. They are hoping for a good result, and something has begun to develop. They're holding, it's a beautiful young person holding a golden bubble or coin or pentacle in their hands very gently, maybe letting it go, maybe receiving it. But they're just touching it with their thumb and fingers. They're not grabbing it. And at their feet, there are flowers, and behind them a forest on one side, a mountain on the other. And also behind them, closer than the mountain, is some plowed ground that has not yet sprouted. So this means you've set the stage well, but the person is a little shying away. You see what I mean? It's like he's not kind of yet in your hands, but he may come back. It is not a card of despair, loss, disaster, or anything. It says you may have a little time here before everything sprouts, but it's not a bad card. The second card is a little more nerve-wracking. It's the King of Cups. Mm-hmm. This would be his card. And this is a water sign person, and it's a man who's had children, and there he is. But the problem with the King of Cups is that he is sitting on a throne, which is on a stone, which is floating on the water, which is very unnatural. And behind him, on one side is a fish, very large fish, and behind him on the other side is a ship. And we call this card coming and going because he has a ship. He can come and go. And a fish mm-hmm. does indicate a female that he listens to. Now, that mm-hmm. could be you, but it could be his mom. It could be an ex-girlfriend. It could be a sister. There is some female influencing his thinking here. So does he you said you don't think he has another female.
No, it'd probably be his mother. I mean, she doesn't not like me, but, I mean, I can see.
Yeah. Well, there's some female here who he listens to, but the problem mm-hmm. is that he's hard to bring to land. This is a man who has many things going on. Now, there's another thing that this card can represent, not making an accusation, but this card can also represent a man who has trouble with drugs or alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have any of that kind of trouble?
Well, since we split up, he drinks a lot now.
Yeah. So that may be part of what's causing him to go back and forth and, you know. And he comes by to see the baby?
Actually, I go over there a lot. He has me come over. And, I mean, we sleep together. I stay over there a few nights a week. But as mm-hmm. far as, like, pushing for a relationship or us getting back together, I don't know where I stand, so.
Well, it sounds like you stand pretty well if you make a stand. Right, he's kind of a tentative person. He will be hard mm-hmm. to land. The third card is a good card. It's called the Ace of Pentacles, and it shows the hand of God holding a big coin. And again, that puts the balance of power back with you, the pentacle sign, the earth person. And there's a garden, and the garden has little lilies in it. Well, lilies always represent the innocent, the non-sexual. It can represent children. And the lilies are growing in a garden that is hedged around with red roses. Red roses are adult female and male passion, sexuality, but also thorns, and they do stand for protection. And then there's a path that leads through this garden and out of the garden and to some mountains. So this says you may be able to bring this thing together, but if not, you need to have an exit strategy. So it really is saying that it's time to make a decision. I would say you did a honey jar. You're having a relationship with a man, but it's not the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The coin in the hand of God says, is money an issue? Is it? Is that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it was a slight issue when we were together, but I mean, yeah. Right now it's an issue for him.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Does he have a job?
Yeah, he works. He's really struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah. Well, this card, the coin card, tells me that one of the types of magic you might want to do is something to ease that financial situation, to make it more copacetic to be together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, when people break up, things they break up usually are about sexuality, money, and then just, you know, emotional bad temper sometimes. But this seems that money may have been a factor in the struggle and the fights and the difficulties that you had. He seems to feel he's just kind of floating here. I think you can bring him in. Based on these cards, I do think you can bring him in and give it a try. All right, let's turn this over to Elvira. Now she's going to do a reading.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, hi, Ashley. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good, thanks.
Good. Okay, so what I'm seeing here is the card of fear is up for you, and the aspect that I think would be something viable for you is to find a way to release some of the fear, because even as your magic that you do, that fear it takes the energy and distracts it and breaks that, it makes it staccato rather than a flow. Some of the things that I suggest, and one of them specifically, is that on a daily basis, you write out what your fears are, what's going through your head is worries, all the things. You don't have to worry about how you spell things or how you punctuate it or any of that. You write it out, and then when you feel like you've kind of like put it all on paper for that moment, take the paper and burn it, and take those ashes and go away from where you're living and throw them in a trash can, because that clears that energy out. It makes it, it kind of lets you do a good dump, so to speak. And
okay.
I think that with the card of fear sitting to my left, it's really important that you dump some of that fear out, because I can even hear it and feel it in your voice, and I understand why, but it is, it gets transmitted, and he's already in fear too, so one of you has to try and kind of relieve that stress. Now, I do have the sun,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because that's success. It's also the child that you have just had. I mean, you have two sons, actually, but the baby here.
Mm-hmm.
And are your mother and father alive at this point?
Yes.
Are you presently staying with them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I've got the King and Queen of Swords, and for me that means parents at this point. They're kind of like, I understand what the swords represent, they're more mental, but this is more like they're taking care of you, and they're trying to keep the family unity here.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the crossroads that you are at and they are at is, you know, how do we, you know, how can you go forward? I really feel there's success here, as Ms. Kat said, but I feel that the Eight of Swords says you're kind of tied up right now, and you feel like you have no place to go, and
mm-hmm.
that exercise, I think, will help you, along with maybe whatever we can suggest in terms of from Conjurman Ali's help on the root work. But I have the Ace of Wands, which is, you know, new beginning and an openness, a transformation of the process. So I feel good that you have a good chance here, dear.
Really, thank you.
Yeah, the Ace of Wands is renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
again, we're seeing a chance of renewal. That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with Elvira that there is some fear here and money issues as well. Let's turn this over to Conjurman Ali and see what he says. And we're not going to contradict anything that you got with Aida, because she is a dynamic worker. But I think we're
mm-hmm.
seeing basically, are we kind of in agreement with what she said? Are we seeing the same
yeah.
type of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. When something is pretty, when a bunch of readers agree and they're all seeing the same thing, you have a better chance of understanding. That is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn this over mm-hmm. to Ali and see what he says.
Thanks, Kat. Let me ask a real quick question. You said that you're currently staying with your mother and father, right?
Yeah.
And before that, when you were together, were you staying at his place? Was that your place together?
We had a place together.
Where he's at currently not your place? Is this a different place is what I'm asking?
This is a different place. This is a place we were going to get once our lease was up. We were going to get it together.
Okay, gotcha. So ideally, you'd want to be in this place with him, not get a
mm-hmm.
separate place or a different place. Perfect. That's all I needed to know, because it's going to determine
mm-hmm.
the type of work that we do. So first, what I want you to do, there's a series of things we need to do. He's a Cancer. It's very strange for a Cancer not to be with. I mean, a Taurus and a Cancer are a good mix. They're both homebodies. They build families together, and quite beautiful families. So we're going to work at the angle. We're going to work a little bit of talismanic magic, a little bit of earth magic, and a lot of water magic as well, to really get
mm-hmm.
into his heart and mind. What I want you to do is every night you're going to take his photo, place it under a cup of water that you keep next to your bedside. Before you go to
okay.
bed, you're going to speak through that cup of water to him. So look at the photo through the water and speak to him. Call out his name 3 times, and you'll see the photo almost shift, or you'll feel something in the water, and you'll know
mm-hmm.
that you have his spirit's attention. And then you'll say, so and so, you miss your family. You want to be with your family. Come back. Let's be our family together. And you're going to speak to him for a few minutes, and then you're going to bed. And you're going to do that every night so that you work directly on his spirit.
Okay.
Next, what I want you to do is take a bath. Every time you're about to go visit him, because he's had you come and see him, get yourself some Return to Me, Love Me, and Stay with Me bath crystals. Bathe in this. Okay? Bathe in
mm-hmm.
this, and then you're going to let yourself air dry. You'll smell fantastic. Take a little bit of the used bath water, when you go there, you're going to sprinkle it around his place so that he's going to step through your bath water, okay? And that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want you to get powders of the same type I mentioned, love me, return to me, stay with me. You're going to sprinkle that around the house as well, but you're going to keep a pinch of it for yourself. You're going to get yourself a locket. You're going to put his photo and your photo and your children's photo in that. So a happy family photo. If you don't have a happy family photo, you can Photoshop one. You're going to place that in the locket, and that pinch of powder that has remained from what you sprinkled, you're going to put in that locket, close it, and you're going to wear it. The idea being that when he steps through that powder, you're walking him right back into your life.
Okay.
Next, I want you to get your hair and his hair.
Okay?
You can find this in the bathroom, he shaves, whatever it is. You're going to roll this. If he's got long hair and you have long hair, you can knot it together. If not, roll it in a bit of softened beeswax, oil it, and place it under the bed. So lift up the mattress and place it under there. This way, every time he goes to sleep, you are on his thoughts. And that you will be drawn, he will be drawn to bringing you back into his bed. This is what I would recommend you do. Once you come back, once he has you back, you need to get that boy's clean underwear, knot that thing, and bury it in the backyard. Okay? That's my recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
It's working in stages, working directly through contact with powders and bath, as well as the talismans, really influence this water sign, this cancer, and restoring your family to where it needs to be. I'm going to see if Kat and Elvira have anything further to add on top of that.
Right, I do. I have one thing to add. He gave you a very good spell, very simple spell, very folkloric spell. Your hair and his hair, roll them together, or tie them together, depending on the length of the hair or the texture, and just put that little, like a little pill of it in a little soft wax between the box spring and mattress or under the mattress. That is fantastic. I'd like you to make another little thing for you and the two children and him. Again, this is a hair with the hairs, and you're going to put all of the hairs together, and you're going to say, we are a family, we will always be a family. And that you're going to put in a little piece of paper where you write your prayer that we will always be a family, just on a piece of paper, wrap it in the paper, and you can wear that, carry it, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, whatever, keep it in your home. That piece of paper is a spell to keep him paying child support, wanting to see the children, and wanting to see you together with the children. If you want, and you have a photo of the happy family, you can print that photo out real, real small, reduce it, and then put the hair and everything of the four people, the you and the two children and him, all wrapped up in a little pill of wax that you flatten in that photo. Some way or the other, you're going to make that. Some people will put that in a mojo bag, carry it in a little leather case.
You can put it in the locket that I mentioned, with the powder that I mentioned. Put it in the locket.
Right, the happy family photo, okay?
All right.
If you don't have a picture of him with a happy family, tell him you want to go down to a studio and get a happy family photo made, okay? Don't tell him you're going to use it in magic. All right, we wish you all the best, and when you next talk to Miss Aida, give her our greetings. All right, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and here is Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 323 in Los Angeles, California. This is Myra. Myra, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Hello. Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome. And,
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. And I do see you haven't gone to Ms. Kat or Countryman Ali on this situation, but you had a reading about 5 months ago with another reader. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right.
Now, Myra, I do have to say there are two different areas you're focusing on in your information you provided here. Did you want to focus more on the love or on the money situation?
Who's the love?
On the love, all right. And she writes, I am currently healing from a past failed relationship. When the time is right, I really would like to meet a life partner. Do you see me meeting a life partner within the next few years? Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
Good. Thank you, Papa Newt. You've been an announcer so long, you know where we were going to go with that. And Myra, you didn't know this because you're new here, but we only can do one question per show. You can call in next week, and we'll do your other question if you get chosen, okay?
Oh, okay. Thanks.
All righty. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and then I'm going to turn this over to another reader. But the questions here is, what is your sign of the zodiac? Scorpio. And do we really need a reading? Okay. You don't know me, but everybody listening to this show who knows me knows where this is going to go. Yes, somebody put in Scorpio, Miss Cat's favorite sign. That's true. Scorpio is my favorite sign. So let me put it this way. I've never seen a Scorpio who couldn't get fucked and get married if they wanted to. You know what I mean? If they want to do it, they will. But we're gonna give you a reading anyway, sweetheart. And about how old are you?
38.
Don't worry, baby. You're going to have somebody real soon. All right, but now I'm going to actually have a reading done for you. It's going to be done by Miss Elvira. I hope I didn't steal her thunder. But Miss Elvira, it's a Scorpio, a 38-year-old Scorpio. Tell her what's going to happen. Yep. Where's Miss Elvira? Uh-oh. Have we lost Miss Elvira? Dang. All right. Ollie, how about you do the reading then?
Yeah, that's fine. I thought it was me up and then Miss Elvira anyways. hopefully by the time I'm done, she'll be back.
Oh, it is Elle. I'm sorry. It did say Elle. I'm sorry. It should be you anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
No. If he wants to do it, I'll do an add-on.
Okay, great. All right. Go ahead.
So I pulled three cards here, and the short answer is yes. As Ms. Kat noted, Scorpios will find love. You have two Tauruses on right now, one of whom is married to a Scorpio, and the other one of who is almost dated exclusively a Scorpios. So let's just say that it looks good for you. The first card that we have here is the Page of Swords. The Page of Swords is a young individual looking over their shoulder as they're moving through the land, and they are looking back. Something is holding them back. They're conscious. They're not quite ready to move forward. They're still looking over their past, looking over their shoulder into that past. And this is where you're coming from. It's very important for you to recognize that your past relationship should not define your present. You can't allow the past to drag you back. Movement, as you can see in the card, the wind is blowing forward. The wind is blowing forward and it's saying, come on, let's go. But there's something holding you back and you're looking to your past. Hesitation is going to be a big killer here. It's not about finding love. It's about being ready to let go and open to new love. You know, love is going to be there. It's present in your life. It's ready. It's just a matter of you being ready. So healing is important. Healing is very good. But part of healing involves letting go, not holding back, not letting yourself be closed off, and certainly not allowing hesitation and doubt to seep into your heart. The next card that we have is the Chariot card. The Chariot card is about motion, about movement. We see a conqueror, someone who is victorious, riding on a chariot pulled by a black and white sphinx. Your healing needs to involve both spiritual and emotional healing, but also something physical to complement it. Healing is not going to happen when you sit at home on the couch. You need to be out there, especially for a Scorpio. Scorpios need to be loved, and that's part of the healing process for them. Right? It's not just about the introspective kind of moment, taking a moment to heal, but also getting out there. So balance the emotional healing that you're doing with something physical. The black sphinx and the white sphinx are the only way that the chariot moves forward. Now, you're a Scorpio. You have a lot of good qualities. Scorpios often have very mesmerizing eyes. and they have very enchanting personalities. Use that to your benefit. Any work that you do should involve not just healing and reconciliation and baths, but also work aimed at increasing your allure, your charm, your beauty, to make you feel bewitching and beautiful to others, because that is part of your healing. The final card that I want to have here is the Page of Wands, and this is who you're going to see. The Page of Wands is a younger individual, so this person may be a little bit younger than you. This person is likely going to be a fire sign, and this person is probably going to work in a field of consulting, advising of some sort. So be aware of that person. They're actually a lot closer than you realize. You may meet them in the next few months, not next few years. So be open to that. And it doesn't have to start off with a love relationship. It can be a friendship at first that then builds towards something more. Those are the cards that I have here. Let's see what Miss Elvira sees, and then I believe Miss Kat is going to give you some root work recommendations. So, Miss Elvira.
Uh-oh. Now again we're missing Miss Elvira. What happened to her? Miss Elvira going once, Miss Elvira going twice. She might be on mute. There she is.
No, what's happening is that my phone system is screwing up. We will get this fixed before Friday. I was going to say Kanjaman Ali has a very good...
Uh-oh, she's gone again. I'm going to just do the reading because she was there. She faded away, and
hello?
I don't know what.
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. Either speak up, or we're going to have to move on. Can you try again?
So the fire sign person is there. I do see that you have an 8 cycle, 8 hours, 8 days, 8 weeks. Possibly, you know, within this month, there is some kind of meeting. You've got the Page of Cups, which to me represents emotional beginning. And your decision here is Ace of Cups, so it's kind of like this person's going to come in, you're going to know it, they're going to have a great experience that you find each other. It's like you really just magnetize, and I tend to want to also say, as Kanjaman Ali says, please stay away from the past, dealing in the past, which, of course, to me, both the Four of Wands, the Four of Cups and the Four of Swords show me that, you know, you tend to pull back. You tend to, pull yourself in, look back to what was. And I understand we tend to do that, but it would be something for this situation. You need to start looking forward. So there we are.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to add a little bit here too. The person who's coming toward you, you've heard two readers now saying this is going to be more close in time than you thought it might be, but the real thing is to give up the past. And and you said you're healing, and you know, that is a stage that one has to go through. I would recommend, if you have not done spell work before, that you do some baths to remove the past and bring in that which is new. So do you do spell casting on a regular basis, or have you worked with magic before?
No.
You never have. All right. So I'm going to give you first a very simple little bath to remove the influences of the past. You can get some walnuts, and you can get them from the grocery store. You can get black walnuts, which grow on a black walnut tree. Some people like those better because they're stronger, darker, and much more oomphy. But anyway, you're going to want walnuts one way or the other, and we usually use 9 walnuts. And you're going to boil those walnuts in water, and it'll make a brownish tea. If you use the grocery store walnuts, it'll be light brown. If you use the black walnuts with their husks on, it'll be real dark brown. And you're going to take that and you're going to pour that walnut bath water over yourself. This is not a sitting down and soaking bath. This is a pour it over yourself bath. You can do it outdoors naked under the moon if you want to. You can do it just in your shower. If you make the walnut water too dark and you have a fiberglass shower stall, you might stain it. So be careful. Just do what you're going to do. But you want to pour it over yourself, and you're going to just sort of... make gestures on your body, just sort of stroking downward, and just say, just remove this condition of the past from me. And that's called the black walnut bath. It's one of the simplest most traditional ways to get rid of the negativity that was put on you. It's used with a reference to how walnuts themselves grow. Walnuts secrete a plant hormone called an auxin in their roots, and that plant hormone kills other plants under the walnut. And therefore, the only thing that grow under walnuts are other walnuts or a very, very few plants that have adapted to it. So we say walnuts cut off other impulses, other things. And so walnuts are used to cut and clear. And this is a simple cut and clear thing. And there's other ones you can do. Sometimes people will use lemons for the same reason. They would take a lemon and squeeze out the lemon juice, maybe dilute it with a little water, wash themselves down with lemon. That's a lemon bath. Similar type of thing. Some people will use other type things. There's many, many ways to do a cut and clear spell, but those are the two most common, walnuts and lemons. And you can mix them. You can take a walnut bath water and squeeze some fresh lemon into it and give yourself a lemon and walnut bath. Always dilute. Always dilute. And we're not talking about a soapy bath. Okay, so that is how to get yourself clear of that. And there are other people who will say, well, actually, you might even want to drink lemonade or lemon juice. Cleanse yourself inside and out. And a little sugar makes the lemonade taste better. Use real sugar. Don't use high fructose corn syrup, please. And squeeze it yourself. Do it yourself. Think about what you're doing. I'm cutting away all of the negativity. I'm cleansing myself for a new beginning. Once you have done that, however, and I'm giving you, because you don't do this type of work on a regular basis, I'm giving you the simplest old grandmother style of work you can do. Once you've done that, I would like you to do some work to draw in your new lover. And there are many, many kinds of spells to draw in a new lover, but the easiest one I know is one who was taught to me by a woman named Miriam Singer, and it was the simplest spell in the whole world, and it worked for me, and I've taught it to thousands of people over the last, 20 years, 25 years, and thousands of people have used it with great success. All you need is a white candle, and you're going to take a white candle. It can be a little birthday candle. It can be a 4-inch candle, a 6-inch candle. It could be a tea light. It just has to be white. Why white? Because white is something without a known color. It's just something that's the unknown. And you can, she said, you would get a thorn of a rose. Now, she came out of the Wicca type tradition, and that's why she said the thorn of a white rose. You can go to a florist and buy a white rose, or you can ask them to not dethorn it, or you can find somebody who's got a white rose plant and pick off a thorn. That is a very Wicca, very Anglo-Saxon way to work. If you don't have the thorn of a white rose, use a needle, okay? But you're going to, which is a more African-American way to work, and you're going to carve in that little candle the words, "All my love, come to me." You just write it. You won't even be able to read it. It'll just be you're just making your hand go through the motion of writing, "All my love, come to me." If it's a long, narrow candle, go around it in a spiral like a barber pole. You can get more words in it. And then you're going to dress that. You can dress it with an oil, but you can all, like come to me oil, or you can dress it with clarity oil for good sight, or you can just dress it with your bodily juices. And usually if you're looking for love, you might put a little of your sex juices on that candle. You're going to light that candle, and you're going to put around it things that remind you of love, not of the last love, but of just love in general, whatever it reminds you of love, a dress that you feel sexy and put it on and wear it, jewelry that you like, hearts, flowers, white flowers. Make a little space, a little altar, a little place you're going to work. And Candelo said, "I just placed the Ace of Hearts on my profile page." Candelo is looking for love, I guess. So Ace of Hearts is a good one. And put that out, and then light that candle. Look at the candle. You want a small candle so it doesn't burn for many, many hours, because you go blind staring at it. And you say, "All my love, come to me." Now visualize that person, male or female, young or old, whatever race, whatever continent, whatever type of person. If you have nothing in mind, just make it be a vague humanoid shape. But just say, "Come to me, come to me. I'm here for you. All my love, come to me." And you can do that one time. You can do it two times, you can do it three times, but you're asking for the spirit of that person, or what in Norse magic is called the Valne, their soul spirit, and you're asking for that person to be visualized. Go to sleep. You may dream of them. That would always be nice. And but also, when you're done, take a little bit of that wax that remains, maybe crumple it up, put it in the toe of your shoe, and say, now let me walk toward that person. Right? If you used come to me oil, you can dress soles of your feet with come to me oil and say, now, and you dress from heel to toe, let me walk toward that person. Right? And that's a good way to walk out and look for that person. You can also just, if you don't want to oil your feet, you can oil the soles of your shoes. Some people take the come to me oil and just draw a cross on the soles of their shoes. Now, I'm going to walk out to you, and you're going to find me, you're going to come to me, and I'm going to come to you. So those are some of the types of work that you would do to draw a new love. Does anybody else have anything? Elvira, do you have anything to add?
Well, your work with a white candle really is very simple and easy. I would tend to think maybe you could also use a little cup and put a cup of sugar in and take a key holding it and put it into the sugar and turn it around and basically say, unlock and sweeten the man to come to me that is appropriate, and use that as a sweetening agent that is more in keeping with shorter, easier spells rather than honey jars.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And I would also say another idea too. Using sugar is a good way to draw someone to you. If you like to buy the oils or the powders or things like that, you can also burn an incense. And people often will take and sprinkle a little sugar at their doorway and say, you know, come here and be sweet to me. But who you are as a Scorpio is always going to be attractive to partners. I've never met a Scorpio who could not find a sex partner if they wanted one. It's just the Scorpio way.
That's true. You know?
So, that's because you've got something that everybody wants, you know, and flaunt it, you know, because there really is no reason for any Scorpio in this world to be alone. And for those who don't know astrology and don't know why I'm saying this, Scorpio, every part of the body is ruled by a sign of the zodiac. Aries rules the head, and we go on down from the head. And by the time we get down to the sex organs, Scorpio rules the sex organs. Therefore,
can
Scorpio...
Go ahead. Sorry. I just want to throw in, when you go out, wear a little bit of look me over and bewitching oil along the lines of what talking about Scorpios. That's a great oil combination for Scorpios.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Look me over and bewitching oil are to get people to notice you. Another one is attraction oil. And you can make up a little blend of them or use any one you like. And you can put them like on your pulse points. I also recommend that women put a little of their vaginal fluid behind their ears when they go out. It won't be enough that anyone will really smell it, but the pheromones will carry. In the day, since women have to wear skirts, that was done to sort of direct their scent downward and not be so attractive. Nowadays, women dress more freely, but men are usually taller than women, and you want to carry a little bit of that up to your ears so that the man can smell it, or woman, whoever you're going to be attracting. Okay? All right, hon, I hope this has given you enough to do, and now we're going to go back to our announcements.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30; The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7; and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Thank you. you, Chief Engineer Troll Tellhead, for all the wonderful announcements you do each and every week here on the LMC Radio Network. And now it's time for our free spell segment with Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. Take it away, Miss Elvira.
Well, thank you very much. This particular spell I want to share is really very simple. It's an invisibility spell, and I honestly, somebody said, why? And I said, I don't know, maybe because we're talking about things that people might want to stay invisible within their family dynamics of what they're doing if it's something to do with spirituality that is not totally in line. But what my suggestion here is to do is to have three black candles, put them in such a way that they form an upward-pointing triangle, put a mirror, a little round 2-inch mirror in the center, and put your picture underneath the mirror so that basically the mirror is on top of your picture so you become invisible. And then what you do is you can add a cat's eye, little mistletoe, and some agar-agar. And for those people, and this is something I learned from talking with Miss Cat, since it is an item that you would find in the Chinese or the Asian cooking section, it's a little powder. They do have it in a root, but the powder is what I'm looking at. That's where you can find it. I would take the agar-agar, circle it as a powder, put the mistletoe, that would be around the mirror, put the mistletoe at the lower point where it would be the base of the triangle, and the cat's eye would be on top of the mirror. So basically, you have your invisibility, which is the mirror, and the herbs that are traditional that can be used as a invisibility cloak. And this is, you know, something that can be used when you feel you need to not be as visible out there in the world at what you're doing.
Wow. All right. This is fantastic, and I got some questions. You know me. I always try to get it so that I can understand it in my mind.
Okay.
So an upward pointing triangle means, because people are going to go, how can it be upward? It's on a table. What we mean by that is that the base of the pyramid is parallel to your two shoulders, and upward pointing means it points away from you. So the point, it's an equilateral triangle, but it's basically parallel to you at the bottom, away from you at the top. Then you mentioned a circle of agar-agar, or agar-agar, people pronounce it differently. That is exactly what she said. It's a powder, and it's used for invisibility. You can also, by the way, dust that on your hands if you want to be invisible where you go. And then you mentioned the mistletoe. This is real interesting. Now, you said the mistletoe along the base of the
mm-hmm.
circle,
mm-hmm.
along the base of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And the cat's eye, you kept on calling it a cat's eye, but there's two things called a cat's eye. There's a cat's eye shell and a cat's eye stone. Which is it?
Stone.
The stone. I thought it would be a cat's eye shell. Okay. cat's eye stone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Next question I'm going to ask on behalf of everybody everywhere. But would a tiger's eye stone do as well?
Yes, because it's the eye of the cat. And the cat, of course, is one that is mysterious, and it also keeps stealth. It is stealthy. So what you're doing is you're creating just exactly that, the stealth of invisibility.
Okay. And if I couldn't get a cat's eye stone or a tiger's eye stone, could I use a cat's eye shell?
Yes, I think that would be just as easy. I happen
okay.
to like stone, so I'm kind of the one that
goes,
I
know.
I want a stone. But if
I know.
You can't, then definitely.
Well, everybody, yeah, but you know how when we do a spell, we're always like, people go, but you don't have that, and where am I going to get that? Okay, so now,
yeah.
that, and so, and you have three black candles. Now,
yeah.
These black candles, are they dressed with any kind of an oil?
You know, at this point, I didn't really think that it could be just olive oil. I didn't have, you know, in trying to find a specific hoodoo oil that, you know, I have worked around in, you know, the Lucky Mojo area. I didn't think of one that I could find. I mean,
so this
I'm
is
sure.
more, again, we're just coming from a more Wiccan or pagan
yes.
undressed candle. Okay,
yes.
That's fine. This is where people see how pagan magic differs from hoodoo. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
just a plain undressed candle. Next question, any mm-hmm. size of candle?
I tend to go with the small ones. I tend to like things to be easy to be done within an evening. So, I mean, if you really want to do something really big, then, of course, the glass vigil candles. But I don't think they have black birthday candles, but you would have to find the 4-inch candles. I mean, that's an things off. Maybe for the 40-year-old, they do have them when you go to certain places, like when people are going 50 and they have some kind of special candles in party stores. But the 4-inch candles are probably the best.
Halloween is coming up.
Or Halloween, you just buy them a stock of them.
Yeah, that's right. And Papa Newt said they're called over-the-hill candles.
Over-the-hill. See, I knew there was something. I'm not over-the-hill, so we wouldn't go there.
Yeah, right. That's cool. That's a cute name. I like that name. All right. Well, this is a wonderful spell, and I think there's many people who could use this for invisibility while you're doing work. This is particularly good for people who live in a family situation where their magic would be frowned upon, or their religious choices, or their sexual choices. It's for people who might want to hide what they do from their coworkers on the job. It's for people who could, if they wanted to, use this as a law keep-away. It says Miss Michael in the chat room. She says, you know, you could dress that with law keep-away for invisibility, or bay leaf essential oil, and Conjurman Ali agrees with that. Law keep-away is a different, I mean, it's invisibility for a certain specific purpose, and this is more general. And so another thing you could use, and to see, again, I come out of the hoodoo tradition, I might use confusion oil on the outside, on the outside edges of those candles, but not the inside, so that people who saw me would be confused if I wasn't doing a keep away.
Or the black mustard seeds is often used. Like, that's what I was taught. If you want to conceal, like, an area, you sprinkle black mustard seeds because it confuses them. They won't be able to see your property or you or whatnot.
Right, black mustard seed, that's right. So there are many ways to do this kind of work, and there are many reasons to do it. I love this spell, though, because it uses agar-agar, which is one of my favorites. And as I said, people will also put that in their shoes. It's just a little powder. And sprinkle agar-agar in your powder in your shoes so that you walk invisibly. There's an old hoodoo tradition where if you want to walk invisibly, people will say that you can put salt and pepper in your shoe. That would be black pepper. So those are some other traditions. And there's many cultures have different ways of working with this sort of stuff. And black mustard seed definitely is a way to keep off anybody who might be on your case. Wow. Well, thank you, Miss Elvira. That opened up a whole spell. I mean, there's a whole world of invisibility spells.
I know.
We didn't even get to the black cat bone.
No, we did not.
No, we did not. All right, maybe for another time. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best. This new show that you're going to debut is going to just be phenomenal, and I'm going to listen to it. It's going to debut August 12th at 6 p.m. Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Pacific time, that means if you're in the East Coast, that would be 9 p.m. I'll be right here on Blog Talk Radio. And as usual, we'll be sending out announcements for the show at the Lucky Mojo Facebook page and at the Lucky Mojo LMC Radio Network page. So if you follow those pages or subscribe, you'll get all the news about which show is coming up when. All right, I'm going to turn this over now to our announcer, Papa Newt, and he'll take us out, and then we can all come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Miss Elvira of MissElvira.com, or Elvira.com, in Santa Rosa, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers. Stay tuned. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com, and Conjurman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via LuckyMojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Vaults. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Papa Newt, and thank you, Conjurman Ali.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you, Miss Elvira, for being our guest. Oh, She's all silent again. We got to get her to. We got to get her straightened out by Friday the 12th, folks. All right, and thank you, Troll Tailhead, my favorite Scorpio. I love you. Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.